This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Angela Rockwood says her life was practically perfect in 2001. She'd gotten a deal with a modeling and acting agency. She was engaged, ready to start a new life. A car accident changed all that. A broken neck and a spinal cord left her almost entirely paralyzed from the neck down. She's one of four women now featured on a new reality television series, Push Girls. 10 years after her accident, worried about paying her mortgage and for 24-hour health care, she's trying to restart her modeling career.
The biggest challenge that I'm going to face in finding a modeling agency is they're not going to know what to do with me.
But come on, let's face it. I am a woman that's paralyzed. I do not have dexterity in my fingers. I can't go and work in an office job and type at a computer.
Good afternoon. Do you guys have any open calls for modeling?
Thursdays from 3 to 4.
3 to 4? And do I have to ask for anyone in particular?
Nope, just walk in.
Okay. Bye. Just walk in.
Push Girls follows Angela Rockwood and three other women in wheelchairs through their daily lives as they continue to reinvent themselves and challenge perceptions. Today we'll talk with two of the women from the show. We also want to hear from those of you. If you're in a wheelchair, what from your former life did you keep and what has been lost? 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Later in the program, NPR's Mike Pesca on bad calls in boxing and baseball. But first, two of the stars of the Sundance Channel's Push Girls join us from NPR West in Culver City, California. Mia Shykowitz, nice to have you with us.
Thank you.
And Audie Angel, nice of you to be with us, too.
Oh, thank you so much.
And let me begin with you. You were able to keep your career, in a sense. You were a dancer before your accident, and you still are now, but I have to suspect there are many fewer opportunities now.
There are not fewer opportunities. I just have to make opportunities occur for myself. People out there weren't aware that people in wheelchairs can still dance, and I am making it known that we do dance.
You do, and but it's going to be an effort, no?
It's definitely an effort. I did have to fight my way back into the industry and show them my capabilities and what I am able to do and show them that I have some really mad skills.
There's a scene of you ballroom dancing. You entered a competition, I guess just on a whim.
I did, and it really took me out of my comfort zone. I was so comfortable being free with dancing with myself because hip-hop dancing is a self-expression. Although you can dance with others, you pretty much do the same thing, but in a solo magnitude. With ballroom, I had to give up that freedom and learn how to take or follow, actually, not take the lead. I'm always wanting to take the lead. And so I had to get out of my comfort zone and learn how to follow, which actually helped me in my marriage.
And how long have you been married?
I have been married for 5 years now to my wonderful husband, Eric.
And one of the developments we see in the show is you guys are considering having a baby.
We are. I am at the age of 42, and you know, it's the new 30s, but it's still like my body being paralyzed. The doctors sometimes, they say that a woman in a wheelchair's their body ages faster than an able-bodied woman. So, you know, literally my body's probably at the age of 45, 47. And so we're working hard on trying to have a child right now. We haven't been successful for the past, I would say, 2 years. So we're taking extra measures, and you'll have to watch the show to find out.
Okay. Mia Shykowitz, we wanted to ask you about, you were 15 when a blood vessel burst in your spinal column, and you've been paralyzed from the waist down ever since. Very much into swimming then, you were unable to continue that.
Yeah, at the time, it was funny because I realized when I got paralyzed that I learned there was a lot more things that I could do than that I couldn't. I was taught that when I was in the rehab hospital, and I knew that I could go back to swimming, but at the time I felt like it was just an emotional hurdle that I wasn't really ready to make. So I knew physically I could do it, but you know, the emotional side was a whole different journey. So yes, through the show, you do see me get ready and finally have that moment where I am ready to get back in the pool and go back to my sport that I loved at the time when I got paralyzed.
And there is an enormous amount that you've managed to keep from your previous life, the physical activity, keeping in shape, all that sort of thing.
Yeah. They say that, you know, when you get paralyzed, it doesn't really change who you are. It makes you more of who you are. I think for me, I was very independent before I got paralyzed, and I strive for that still. I mean, I continue to do athletics, and I, you know, still have a career. I do everything I did before, if not with more vigor now, I would say.
And what job do you work?
I'm a project manager for a graphic design and branding firm.
So that's something, the office is wheelchair accessible, not a problem?
Yeah, it is. And I kind of also seem to make things accessible when they're not. There's a lot of moments where we come up to a place that may not have a ramp, or, you know, it may be a little bit too tight to get in, but we're always problem solving and finding a way to make it work. So even if I found a job that seemed to be a little bit, you know, difficult in the access, I don't think I would let it stop me from getting that job. I would just make it work and figure out a way to make it accessible for me.
We're talking with two of the push girls on the Sundance Channel's new TV show, Mia Shaikowitz, who you just heard, also with us, Autie Angel. And we'd like to hear from those of you who are in wheelchairs. What have you managed to keep from your previous lives, and what have you lost? 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. And let's go to Tony. Tony with us from North Salt Lake City.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Well, hi, good. Tony.
I was paralyzed at the age of 14, and it was in a small town called Colville out in the country, and there nothing was set up for people in wheelchairs. So we moved back to my former hometown in West Bountiful, and my biggest concern at that age was whether I'd ever have a girlfriend in this condition. As it turns out, when I moved back home, the prettiest girl in the whole eighth grade wanted to go out with me, and it totally changed my entire, my self-confidence. And I found that that over time, my upper half started to develop into, I was always a pretty little guy, and then the upper half kind of developed into pretty athletic shape. So you lose some things and other things. Some good comes with the bad anyway, sometimes.
Mia Shaikowitz, dating that's something that people don't think about.
Yeah, you know, I completely identify with the story, because when I first got paralyzed, my biggest concern was also going back to high school and feeling accepted. And my high school wasn't accessible at the time. It is now. But at the time, I never knew anybody else in a wheelchair. So I didn't have a role model. I didn't know what was possible. I definitely felt the same way. I didn't think that, you know, a guy would want to go out with me. But then I started seeing the opposite happen. I think sometimes the fear, you know, that you have is really in your mind, and when you go out into the reality of life, you see that it turns around. And my biggest lesson going back to high school was realizing that, you know, it was really what I felt inside and what I put out there was the reflection I got back. When I went back to high school and felt confident, people were happy to see me, and they just said, you know, she's the same just sitting down, you know? And once I realized I still was who I was, I still went after, you know, the guys that I still liked, and they reciprocated, because I think once you realize it's just the person and not necessarily the wheelchair, then you realize it's a beautiful life out there, whether you're sitting or not.
Oh, Autie Angel, your accident was a little bit later in life at 22, and you, at least the character that comes across in the show, you don't strike me as somebody who was all that fearful.
No, I was pretty bold. Actually, I'm the one who pretty much nailed my husband. I met him at a barbecue. I knew his brother, and his brother came up to me. I knew his brother prior to my car accident. And his brother came up to me and said, you know, Autie, I heard about your accident. I'm really sorry, but you still look amazing. I was like, thank you. Who's that? And I was looking at his brother, and he said, that's my younger brother. I was like, ooh, younger? So the cougar kitty in me kicked in, and I went after him.
Thanks very much for the call. Tony, good luck to you.
Oh, yes, and you mentioned having a role model. You know, I did have a guy that came to see me in the hospital before I even got out, and that was huge, too. So anybody that gets a chance to mentor a younger kid that's been injured, totally, yeah, do it, because that made a big difference to have him come tell me what kind of sports I could still participate in that I hadn't even thought of. You know, skiing, horseback riding, water skiing, basketball, racing. There's all kinds of great things I wasn't even aware of until this guy came to tell me. So anyone that gets a chance, do that. It's huge.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'm still learning all the things I can still do. I just went and did some ice hockey called sled hockey.
Ice hockey?
Yeah. They have ice hockey even adaptive. Super cool.
Let's see if we go next to, this is Shane. Shane with us from Cincinnati.
Hello, Shane.
Hi.
Hey, Shane.
How's it going?
Good.
I'm a T12 L1 spinal cord injury. I was injured in 1998 in a hiking accident. I fell 85 feet and landed on my back. I just wanted to say that I think I've retained the basic sense of who I am. You know, I don't think that's really changed at all. I think I'm still me. And I was always such an independent person before my accident, and I still am. You know, I work. I'm an administrative assistant in an office, but... I don't know. I find that I'm really limited as far as job, work, you know, stuff kind of goes. It's really tough job market out there for anybody right now. And I don't know, especially for somebody with a disability like a spinal cord injury. I find I'm very limited in I don't know what I can do for work, what I can do for a living.
What would you like to do?
Oh, geez, anything. I was a literature major in college, but... I don't know, it's hard to find jobs that are, you know, work with your hours and, you know, how often you can stay in the wheelchair and just work around your disability. It's really hard to find a place that will, you know, work with you with that kind of stuff.
Well, Shane, good luck.
All right.
Thanks very much. We're talking with two of the stars of the Sundance Channel reality show Push Girls. The song you're listening to now is called Stand Up by Ludacris. Among the dancers on the music video, Autie Angel. She started as a wheelchair dance group in 2003 called Colors in Motion. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan. We're talking with two of the stars of the new reality show, Push Girls, Autie Angel and Mia Shaikowitz. If you're in a wheelchair, what from your former life did you keep? What's been lost? 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Like many reality programs, the show focuses on any number of personal issues, including romance. In the show's first episode, we see Mia Shaikowitz in bed with her boyfriend, Dave.
You were talking in your sleep last night.
Was I?
Yeah.
You were trying to have conversations with me last night in your sleep.
I was?
You don't remember?
No.
Dave is my boyfriend, and we've been dating for about a year and a half. I find that people are surprised when they find out that I don't date guys in wheelchairs. I prefer to date able-bodied guys.
Gotta go.
Yep. That will definitely keep me from getting fired.
Maybe.
Showing up on time for once.
This is the longest relationship I've ever been in. Dave wants to move in together and take it to the next level. But I don't know if I'm ready for that. I love my freedom.
Spoiler alert, in episode 2, which aired on Monday night, Mia Shaikowitz, you and Dave decide things aren't working out so well.
Yeah, that's correct. I think we got to a point where we realized we care about each other completely. But there is one thing to relationships that's very important, and that's long-term goals. And if your long-term goals don't seem to be compatible, there seems to be an end. And we did have to come to that place. And it felt like a very, you know, mature decision to make because I am getting older and realize that, you know, I also want to have children someday. So I'm ready to move into a relationship that's also headed in that direction.
And Autie Angel, I wanted to ask you, one of the things that we find out in these programs is that your concerns and your lives are like an awful lot of other people's, that things aren't really that different, and that Push Girls doesn't stand so much for the chairs as pushing boundaries.
Absolutely, and that's what I love about this show is that we have relatable stories that can be relatable to anybody, disabled or not. And I hate using the word disabled because there's a lot of us that are able to do a lot more things than even able-bodied people. So it's like we're differently abled. Facing challenges in life, like being 42 and trying to have a child, Angela separating from her husband. You know, there are people out there who have separated from their loved ones. So our stories are definitely relatable, and I love that.
Let's go next to Mark. Mark with us from Kansas.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Hi,
thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Oh, I kind of have a different perspective on things. I was born with spina bifida and have been paralyzed from the waist down all my life. And I sometimes find it, you know, maybe a little more, you know, they were just talking about not being differently abled. Well, you know, I too am differently abled, and it's sometimes harder to relate to people who, you know, who may be just newly, you know, paralyzed or, you know, impaired because of, you know, I haven't had the experiences that they have. But again, I haven't let stuff like that stop me. I did professional theater as a stagehand for 20 years. And now am getting involved in politics and government.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, I commend you, and I look at it, you know, because I teach hip-hop workshops to all different type of disabilities, or different abilities, if we would say, and cerebral palsy, spina bifida, and other elements, and knowing that these are children that have been born this way, and they are the light of my life. They inspire me. You guys inspire me more than you know. And this is your normal. So, you know, life is just as it is, I would assume.
Yeah, my goal in life is to try to get more people who have impairments actively involved in government and politics so that, you know, the programs that serve us, you know, can be designed by people who actually use them.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. I agree 100%. I think, you know, even with the ADA, they make great strides to make accessible, you know, everything accessible. But if we're not out there using it, you know, then people also have the excuse as to it not being needed. And I think the more we do and the more we get out there and show up, it makes great strides in changing things.
Mark, excuse me for interrupting. Okay. I just wanted to ask Mark, ADA, of course, the Americans with Disabilities Act, and it sounds to me like you've lived through the ADA era. What kind of difference has it made?
It has made more of a difference in public transportation. No longer do a lot of times am I having to call a special bus to come get me. I can just go down to the corner, providing, you know, the place where I live has public transportation, but all the buses are now accessible. I can get into buildings easier, you know, and the it's not an afterthought that, oh, where do we put the ramp, or where do we place the elevator, or do we place an elevator in these buildings?
Mia, was I cutting you off?
No, actually, it was me.
Okay, sorry. Auntie.
But also, you know, we still need to make more changes because there's what's called a grandfather law to certain buildings that don't have to make changes, and they still have their stairs and no ramps and things. So there's still some changes that we need to make, and I'm commending you for stepping into government things and issues that you can make changes there.
Mark, thanks very much.
Let me just say, you know, I agree. The ADA is a great starting point, but we really have to, you know, get more involved and continue to, you know, update and work on accessibility and inclusion issues.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
And let's see if we go next to, this is Jenny. Jenny with us from Reno.
Yes. Hi, Neil.
Hi.
I'm very excited about this program because we don't hear much about people's lives after an injury. And I am what society calls severely disabled. But like Mark said, I simply call myself differently abled. And people, when they're around me enough, learn that I live pretty much a regular life. I have to use a wheelchair and crutches. I'm an incomplete paraplegic, which means I have some use of my legs. And I'm fortunate to have that much. I'm very thankful. I was a horse trainer and a professional farrier before I was injured. And when I woke up paralyzed, I thought my life with horses was all over. And I wanted to share with people that I met a miniature horse that I now own. His name is Knockout, and he and I are national miniature horse champions, and I'm willing to, and I do share him with youth, and I would share him with anyone that was, you know, disabled. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
That's okay. So you've obviously got a dog, too.
I definitely do.
Much more
deer than the horse would ever get. But I wanted to share that. People might be able to give that a thought, because when you can find a sport, no matter what it is, and, you know, I'm so glad they have adaptive sports for people. But you have to get out and network. If you sit at home and feel sorry for yourself, your life won't be near as full as it can be if you advocate and research and find out what you can do.
Absolutely.
And you'll find out you can do a lot more than you can't do.
Life is worth going on. So thank you so much. And
thank you.
Thank your guest.
Thanks for the call, Jenny.
Bye.
So long. Let's see if we go next to, this is Steve, and Steve's on the line with us from Richmond.
Yeah.
Hi, Steve.
I was an incompleter also. How are you all, by the way?
Great.
Feeling well
you.
Today.
Good.
I had a condition I was born with called sounds like something out of The Wizard of Oz, called a spondylolisthesis, which means that my sacrum and my last lumbar vertebra were not correctly connected. Mm-hmm. And after playing football and 25 years of ice hockey and golf and all that, my last lumbar vertebra was 3/4 of an inch out of whack. Mm-hmm. And they went in and they pulled it out and they put screws and rods and all that stuff in. And sure enough, I felt better. And they went in to take all that stuff out and clean it up. And during the cleaning out part of it, they hit a nerve with a laser. Mm-hmm. And I lost complete use of my thighs.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly was, you know, supposed to be coming out of surgery, ready to go back to the real world. And I came out of surgery not being able to move from the waist down.
Mm-hmm.
And went through an extensive 8-9 months of physical therapy.
And
fortunately, re-waking those nerves up. And what I found during this experience, and I don't know if the ladies can identify with this or not, you find out who your friends are and who your acquaintances are.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And you find out who you are.
You definitely find out who you are. I mean, that's
important.
That's the really true part of it. But the it was amazing to find out that, gee, the guys I used to play golf with didn't call anymore because they knew I wasn't available on Saturday to go play in their foursome.
Mm-hmm.
And that my real friends were guys like Mike Gardner, the mailman.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, those people who you just interact with on a normal daily basis mm-hmm. seem to understand and get it. And fortunately, my family, who, as my kids would laugh at me as I exercise, because I'd have to do these exercises where I was raising my thighs up real high and walking, and they called it, in parallel bars, and they called it the chicken walk.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So you learn, I guess, from this, number one, that you are human, so you become very humble very quickly, and number two, that there are an immense number of people out there who really want to help you.
It's interesting.
And,
in the show, Mia and Autie, you guys are portrayed as best friends. I mean, that this happened before the producers found you, and is that right?
Yes.
That's correct. Yeah.
We are best friends. We're sisters.
Mm-hmm.
We were... I've known Mia for 7 years now. Angela, I've known for a little over 10. And Tiffany, we've known for 4 years. So we've been solid sisters for 4 years, all four of us. We've all connected on different levels, but mainly spiritually. You know, we came to understand that we have the same wants, the same needs, the same drive to make a difference in this world. And we bonded together like that. Mia and I dance together. We're on a dance team. And we press forward doing dance workshops, like I said, for the differently abled that are all different type of diagnosis. And no matter what, we make sure that they're included, which is the best part about this show as well, is we're showing that we're including people, not just because we're paralyzed and spinal cord injuries. We love everybody.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Autie Angel and Mia Shaikowitz, two of the Push Girls on the Sundance Channel show that airs Monday nights at 10 o'clock. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Jessica's with us. Jessica calling from DeKalb in Illinois.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, I'm actually calling. I am not paralyzed, but my father is a quadriplegic with multiple sclerosis. Mm-hmm. And has been paralyzed from the neck down for about the last 15 years. Mm-hmm. And he was actually diagnosed when he was 19, so it's just pretty slowly progressing. Mm-hmm. But he actually used to be a musician, and it's been very difficult for him to live with, you know, this disability and not being able to do what he loves. Mm-hmm. He did pass music on to me. He actually, after he was already a quadriplegic, he did teach me how to play guitar, which is kind of amazing. But
amazing.
Other than that, it's even difficult for him to listen to music at times because it's you know,
too tough. Painful. Yeah. It seems that it's robbed him of what he, a strong sense of who he was.
Absolutely. And he actually, for many, many years, he was a big part of the music scene here in DeKalb. And he hosted Clyde's Open Stage at quite a few different places. I think he did it for about a little over 10 years, actually. And it was really important to him.
So I would suggest trying to, being his daughter and doing what he loved, try to inspire him to follow his dreams still in a new way, even if it's like creating a program that helps quadriplegics play music mm-hmm. on the computer or something. You know, it's like we always have to try to adapt to what our heart's desires are. And, you know, I'm a dancer who lost the use of my legs. And people would think, okay, well, your dancing career is over. No, I had to reform this chair into my legs and adapt to new dancing and a new style mm-hmm. and bring out a new style. And I ended up dancing with Ludacris on the Vibe Music Awards in my wheelchair. So just, you know, encourage you to inspire him, being that you're his daughter, to still fulfill his dreams in a new creative way.
Mm-hmm. A lot of going back to something that you did before and having this thought that you can't do it the same way sometimes keeps you from trying it. And I think when you try again and you think outside the box, there's definitely fulfilling ways to get that feeling back mm-hmm. and to get that inspiration back. Mm-hmm. And I definitely
Absolutely.
Think, yeah, I would definitely talk to him about, you know, thinking outside the box and coming up with ideas and brainstorming, because the brain can take you, you know, to places you never thought you'd go and come up with
and
solutions.
You know, he actually just recently was his birthday, and he got me and a few of his personal assistants together and actually taught us his songs. He put out an album in 93, and he taught us his songs, and we performed them at an open mic night that someone else runs at a coffee shop here. So that was really
beautiful.
That is beautiful.
Beautiful.
And you never know, he might create a program that helps younger kids who become quadriplegics, and he'll make history.
Yeah, well, thank you so much.
Jessica,
thanks
very much for the call. Thanks for the story. And we want to thank Autie Angel and Mia Shaikowitz, two of the Push Girls, for being with us. They're, I guess, now ambassadors from their world to ours. And it turns out their world is very similar to ours. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, it's an honor and a pleasure.
The Push Girls joined us from NPR West in Culver City, California. Up next, to many fans, boxer Manny Pacquiao was robbed last Saturday by the judges. NPR's Mike Pesca on bad calls in boxing and other sports. Is it time to take the human element out of scoring? 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.